the meta entry is also, you know, one you can go for as well.
Quite valid.
We've gone for this time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Might play out okay.
Let's see how it goes. Let's see if the fans enjoy this.
Let us know on Twitter.
Will it be celebratory fireworks for Spurs at the end of this season? Will Erik ten Hag's Man United career fizzle out? And will Oxford fans soon be burning effigies of their manager? Is it called Liam Manning? Is it Liam?
Yeah, Liam, yeah.
This is In Airplane Repair.
Was that countdown? I feel I'm doing countdown.
Yeah, I think I'm also doing countdown.
Was there a part of it that was like kind of like the BBC intro?
Yeah, it's because it's like Newsnight. And absolutely. So I just kind of do Newsnight. Yeah.
It's a perfect fusion of Newsnight and countdown.
You're listening to In Airplane Repair, the most uncensored, unedited, and oh my God, I can't quite believe we're actually doing a pod football podcast on the internet. Joining me today to discuss, can anyone guess, first of all, the date on which we last released the pod?
Ooh.
All right, fucking...
Maybe a year ago?
Save it for the quiz, mate.
I'll take, October.
Okay.
No. There, it was, surely we did something around the World Cup. I'm going to say...
Yeah, we must have done it.
World Cup final. We must have done it.
Oh, we talked about the World Cup final, yeah.
December the, 18th.
Very good. December the 22nd. So joining me today to discuss everything that's happened in the world of football and beyond since then. The only one of us who's coached the team, Jasper Kawaja. Welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, coached the team 6 years ago. Never leaves you, though.
And he's got the emotional knowledge, statistical expertise, and our new European football correspondent, Otto_Wolf.
And also live at the Chelsea Tottenham stream and can give live updates throughout the podcast.
I guess they won't be live when
on the ground. The
podcast goes out, but they're live for us right now.
You'll get our live reactions.
What is the score, actually?
1-1.
One-all.
Oh, and Tottenham on an attack and it's fizzled out. Yeah, you can get to it.
And he's the only one of us who's played the game at the highest level. Luke Stamper, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Good to be here. Fresh back from a good six-a-side performance this evening.
Oh.
I'm excited to hear who scored more goals this season out of Luke and Johnny.
Yeah, we should have a tally.
And our fan on the road is here at the J Doggy Dog.
Oh, Chelsea got 3 into attack.
Good to be here.
What was it? You had news about your new something or other?
My new, you could call me a prodigy, but I guess I'm getting quite old now. But yeah, my new position, 8-a-side, CDM. It started off...
I think you're in the peak of your career, mate.
I'm peaking, but who knows whether I'll keep peaking or not. But... I want to
another red card, second red card of the game. Tottenham, ooh, 2 red cards. Wow.
I think it's all down to Pep Guardiola and John Stones, to be honest, because that's what gave me the vision to start right back and move into the centre mid. And now I'm just stayed in the centre mid. And so yeah, thanks to Pep, really.
What's the formation that you your 8-a-side? Because I remember you telling me about it, and it sounded revolutionary for the 8-a-side game.
It is revolutionary. It's basically a 2-2-3.
Sounds pretty old school, in the early days of football when it was just like stick everyone up front, have a dribble, see if you can score kind of thing.
Which again is almost, so it's like if City were to play 8-a-side, I think they would play exactly like how we play.
Who are you? Which City? You are John Stones. Do you think they'd bring John Stones into the 8-a-side?
Yeah,
I reckon it'd be a shout.
I think. Yeah, probably have Rodri.
Probably have Rodri and John Stones.
So who scored more goals this season then?
I think I've scored 7.
Season. Because I don't play any 8-a-side.
How many goals?
Between 11-a-side and 6-a-side. One 11-a-side. 6-a-side maybe... Maybe on about 10 or so.
Okay.
Maybe.
But they're, yeah, they're smaller than outside, so you've got fewer people to share the goals amongst, don't you?
I'd say I'm just about ahead, I think.
I think that math works out.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back in our next episode, you can catch up on who's leading the race for the Pilot Pundit's Golden Boot.
Maybe it can feed into their quiz
point. I was going to say, I think Johnny probably gets a point for having the most goals.
Marcus Rashford's birthday celebrations hours after Manchester United's 3-0 defeat by Manchester City were unacceptable, says manager Erik ten Hag. Jasper, if you were a coach, well, I mean, when you were a coach and your star man, hours after a derby defeat of that magnitude, what would you say to him? If you saw him partying like that.
We're straight into the gossip section today, then.
I don't know.
Well, I did have an incident similar to this with the Year 7s, actually. Not quite the same. But there was some pushback from one of them who wasn't playing regular football. It's not the same as my star man. I was trying to tell him, like, oh, next year you'll move to 11 aside and there'll be space for you. But on in the day of the County Cup final, he pulled out of the squad. After I tried to talk him around. I mean, I know that there's
no parallels here.
Were you slandering him in the press?
Did he have a part? How is it relevant to the party thing?
Yeah, what are you talking about, Jasper?
It's not relevant. Okay. Other than
it's about player management, isn't it?
It's about man management. And what I'm going to say is, you know, you think you're a great man manager, and then tough moments come, and you panic in the situation. You're stressed, and I think Erik ten Hag has done that here. He's been a little bit too hasty because he's feeling the pressure himself, and he's transferred that onto his star man. Let him go and enjoy his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like
he should. Kids, that man.
I feel like he should have learned from the David Beckham documentary. You don't single out one player and put all your team's feelings on that player. You know, otherwise he'll move to Real Madrid.
There's bigger problems. Just don't acknowledge it. Do it behind back doors.
Yeah, exactly. Protect your players at all costs.
Behind back doors.
Well, now it's got out of hand. Marcus Rashford says the malicious so-called rumours about his future must stop. What's gone wrong for Erik, Luke?
I have no idea, to be honest. I guess maybe he's not that good. Maybe all the players aren't that good. Maybe a combination. People say there's problems with the whole club, don't they?
Gary Neville does.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you say?
Other people as well. What do I say? Clearly some of their players can be quite good, you know. Rashford can be good. We've seen him score nice goals. Nice chop now and then. you know, Bruno Fernandes, also potentially a good player.
Honestly, this Tottenham game is insane. They're playing a really high nine with nine men, and it's just fucking, there's so many good attacks. I think so many one-on-ones only. Sorry, Karen.
Derailed me a bit there, to be honest. I think I was really about to get into something pretty cutting as well. But I haven't watched the game in a long time because you don't want to. Don't want to as a fan. Because they sort of seemed all right last season. It was like, okay, this is a season where it's like the next season, maybe they'll be good. Turns out, no. But maybe everyone else just got better.
Worst ever start.
That's good.
I think he's got to go.
But who?
Lasers out.
I think it's hard because so many managers have struggled there. It's whether there's a core of players that are just rubbish.
It's cursed, isn't it? It's cursed.
I remember when we were young, Man United used to win everything. And they would play Liverpool, and Liverpool would be like eighth. And everyone would go, oh, it's a massive game. And I never understood, other than it being like, oh, they had this history, because Liverpool teams just were nowhere near as good. And now I feel like it's reversed, where I can't... The Man United teams just look... Still got Maguire and Johnny Evans. I know they got a lot of injuries and it's unlucky, but like, that is appalling.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing.
But money-wise, they're still
splashing it.
Yeah. I think if you compare the Liverpool team when they were eighth to the Man United team now, I think it is quite a lot more impressive.
And like
you say, the Liverpool teams, they had some questionable teams going on.
Yeah, Jay Spearing, Stuart Downing, Andy Carroll. Too much pressure then on Rasmus Hojland, Johnny. Is that how you say his name? Denmark?
I've not had anyone say his name like that yet, but maybe.
Oh, right. I think let's go with Hojland. yeah, I think Hojland could be better, to be fair. Put more praise on his name.
he's a decent player.
To be fair, I haven't watched many games either. No,
to be honest.
But I would say, I think you can pin the blame on the manager. When you see when Tuchel came into Chelsea and he just turned them around, good manager just turns people around. So honestly, don't blame Hojland.
I guess when they got Hojland, they really wanted a new Haaland.
Absolutely.
They just got another kind of Scandi big man.
He's not as big though.
No, exactly. I think that's the problem.
It's probably the problem, yeah. He's just not quite large enough.
Okay, so in the intro I said that will there be celebratory fireworks for Spurs at the end of the season? In October, Ange Postecoglou, how's that?
Beautiful.
Yeah, Postecoglou.
Thank you. The problem is I have never actually heard Hojland's name said. Okay. So he said it was too early to talk about the title in October. Luke, what about November?
Yeah, talk away, you know. How are they doing in the game right now, Otto?
Honestly, it's fucking hilarious. Chelsea are just really shit at finishing, but honestly, the line is so high. You know, like on FIFA, when you do ultra attacking and your defenders are like just outside of the center circle, like just behind that constantly. They're doing that with nine men. They have no midfield. And it's honestly just Sterling running and miscontrolling the ball over and over and over again and then not managing to score. And I honestly don't understand how this is happening.
I think if they win this, then they get to start, you should start talking about the title.
Yeah.
If they can win with the offside trap nine men, then you've won the league pretty much.
Because Luke, it's, you know, we've talked about it many times on this pod before. It's early days, you know, but the table is starting to take shape. 11 games in.
The table can lie at certain times.
Is it lying at this current moment?
Let me have a look at the table. Let me see what it looks like.
Pull it up.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Tottenham Hotspur in joint first position as it stands. Well, second.
Exactly. If they draw.
Yeah.
If they draw this game.
Yeah.
I think the table's only lying like a little bit, you know?
I think.
Yeah. I feel like it's quite truthful right now.
Yeah.
Because actually, if it stays the way it does in this game, City would be top, then Spurs, then Liverpool, then Arsenal. I can see that being top four.
So annoying that City are now just going to be back top.
Well, Newcastle could be up there, I guess.
Oh, that is a match I watched recently. Well, the second half, at least. Newcastle, Arsenal. Also, they had the best VAR moment ever, didn't it?
The goal.
I was checking for three different things.
I can't believe that wasn't.
And it seemed like all three they said they didn't have any videos for either.
No. The first two were like inconclusive evidence. The first one was inconclusive. The second one was definitely a foul.
But what about the offside? I thought they said they didn't have
the. Yeah, the offside they said they couldn't get the angle.
Which is weird.
I'm pretty sure it probably was offside, but they didn't have an angle that showed like when you couldn't see the ball from the. Like side on angle, so they couldn't draw the line.
The Arsenal player touched it to make it.
Ball was definitely on the line. I think that was pretty. Yeah.
I reckon it was exactly the same as the Japan, Germany moment.
Yeah,
were they playing Germany or Spain?
Japan were playing Germany.
Yeah.
But did you think it was a foul?
Maybe. Probably was a foul. But, you know, it's a physical game, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Do your defensive job first and complain to the referee later, you know?
It's one of those, because I think Ryers made a few mistakes.
Loads.
Just like, when are you going to bring Ramsdale back? Be honest.
Yeah, if I was Ramsdale, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah.
He's had a really tough personal time as well, right?
Yeah, well, I can't remember what happened.
I thought he came out and said that his brother was gay. That was like a big story, but
I don't think that's what Jasper's referring to.
I know.
I thought there was something else as well.
He missed a game
because something kind of horrible happened.
Oh, right.
I think his like house got burgled while he was there or something.
I don't know exactly. He didn't go to a Champions League game. He didn't travel with them for a Champions League game because of that.
Do you remember that time when you said that like Sterling had like staged some kind of robbery at his house so that he could like return from the World Cup?
I think that made sense, didn't it?
Yeah.
No, what I said was if he was playing well, he wouldn't have.
Oh yeah, yeah, fair. I retract that.
Chelsea have had like 5 one-on-ones and they've still not scored. It's amazing.
So, Jasper, are Tottenham Hotspur a better team without Harry Kane in the side?
Ooh, and is Harry Kane a better player without Tottenham Hotspur? Maybe yes to both. You know, sometimes you just got to say it. But yeah, I think it's mostly the manager. But it does mean they can play a different way without Kane, because he is quite unique in being able to do the two roles, but he's not going to really run in behind. So all the former managers, they kept getting him to drop and they'd have like Son running in behind. Whereas now they don't even have a proper number 9. Am I right in saying that?
No, I don't know.
But the old false 9, well, can work wonders, can't it?
Yeah.
Especially with people that can drop and then go in behind as well, I guess. So maybe they're just a bit more unpredictable as a team. Plus, he is obviously a very good manager.
And I think Maddison, whenever game I've watched, Madison's just been insane.
Yeah,
Maddison
is a
joke. Maddison for England, Johnny? Maddison for England?
What's that?
Maddison for England?
Well, the thing is, he's been in the same position as Bellingham at the moment. But he's definitely got to be in the squad.
Yeah, you could play him on the wing or something, couldn't you?
Just get Rice holding and then play Foden, Greeley, Bellingham.
Yes.
Yeah, Saka.
Madison.
So, like the 2-2-3 equivalent, but yeah. Put 11 aside.
Yeah. More like 2-2-6, I reckon.
Yes. Yeah.
Euros next year, right?
You know he's just going to play Henderson, Rice, Phillips. Henderson, Rice, Phillips. Fuck's sake.
I feel like Madison's such a frustrating one because he's just one of those players who, like, everyone was saying, oh, he's pretty good, isn't he? And but then no one was buying him. And then as soon as he gets bought by actually a good team, he is really good. And it's like, it always makes you wonder how many players are just like slightly wasting away at clubs. Like, not that Leicester is bad, but like, as soon as they go to a big club, everyone's like, okay, this player's actually amazing.
How many players could step up to that top level?
Yeah.
Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah.
What could have been?
Could have been.
So is Declan Rice the missing piece of Arsenal's puzzle then, Otto_Wolf?
He's very good. I didn't think he was that good, to be honest. I thought he was just in a kind of... I thought he was just a very David Moyes player, and so he really fit the David Moyes very well. But it turns out he is very, very good. And he actually maybe... Not that anyone should ever be worth however much they pay for him, 100 and something million or whatever, but he seems like he's actually kind of worth it. But I don't know. I still feel like they are missing someone to replace Odegaard when Odegaard's out. And against Newcastle, they didn't have much creativity, and then they're trying to get Havertz to play in the Odegaard position. And Havertz just like, he's one of those players who's just like the opposite to Maddison, where it's just like every time I watch you, you look shit.
Yeah.
And every team you've played for, all the fans kind of think you're shit, and yet you continue to be like play at such a high level.
You do wonder if he were to play for a shitter team, would he still look shit? And then how?
Yeah, maybe.
And then
maybe
and then how low could he? How low could he go before you thought actually?
Yeah. And still look shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then obviously, you know, the managers and stuff, they know more than I do. Because then your players like
those don't work out.
Because at Chelsea a few years ago they'd had like Havertz and Mason Mount, and it was like all these young exciting players, and now both of them are a bit like
And Timo Werner as well. That's so exciting. Is Mount just shit or is Mount injured? I think he's injured, isn't he?
I think he's injured.
Yeah.
He came I think he's back. He got subbed on last game.
Yeah.
Another team that's doing well is Newcastle. Beat Man City, beat PSG, top scorers in the Prem. But they had a bit of a blow in Tonali. Jasper, if you were a manager and you had just found out that he'd been banned for 10 months for breaking some kind of obscure betting rules in Italy or whatever the hell it was, what would you say?
I don't think it's obscure. What do you mean obscure?
Betting on other teams in the league he was playing in.
What the?
It's a very well-known...
Some kind of minor infringement.
Crazy.
You get caught out on a technicality.
Exactly.
What's the question? What would I do with him?
What would you say to him?
Have you had any similar experiences that you could draw to enlighten us about player management?
Yeah, 1 year serving got suspended and I had to... from school. No, they actually didn't. I just thought that would have been a good story.
That would be good, that would be.
You should have just rolled through with it.
Yeah, we don't lie on this pod.
No, we don't. No.
Like Sterling when his house is not getting robbed.
I think Newcastle have got the right approach. I've seen these stories coming out that they sort of want to sue Milan or blaming them for selling him when they knew this must have been going on. And I think that's the way you protect him, because you make the story a different story. Classic
very PR good.
Spin.
And it's an Eddie Howe masterclass yet again.
Another Eddie Howe masterclass. Yeah, he could be a political advisor. He will be soon, won't he?
Probably will.
Get the king of spin.
Okay, do you guys want
to
play?
That's all I have to say. I wouldn't speak to him, though, behind the scenes. I wouldn't say a word to him.
You wouldn't speak to him at all?
No,
no, no.
Alex Ferguson stuff.
Sir Alex Starlock, yeah.
While we're talking about Newcastle and therefore Saudi Arabia, do you also want to? I feel like there should be a mention about the stats about how many fans are going to watch Jordan Henderson's team that were coming out.
How many?
Have you ever seen it? There were some games where there was like 680 people watching the games. Yeah, it's like there's been like in all of the games he's played, they've only just beaten an Anfield attendance. If you add them all together.
Christ. And Saudi Arabia have got a World Cup, is that right?
Yeah.
Are they going to have a World Cup?
Looks like everyone else has pulled out, yeah.
Yeah, well, so that's fucking dodgy, isn't it?
There's something about, like, Chelsea finally scored.
Chelsea just scored, yeah.
Chelsea finally scored. Have you been watching it now?
No, I just saw an update on my phone.
Nicholas Jackson.
Ooh. I said it was Cole Palmer on this.
No, that was the first guy.
Oh, it's changed. It's originally okay.
How would they ever confuse that?
I don't know. Yeah, one's black and one's
white. Yeah, the whole Saudi thing is fairly soul destroying. Watching people you thought had a vague sense of credibility just.
Also, I feel like I don't know. Maybe this is a classic thing of like actually, if they did this, you'd then still just get annoyed at them. But I feel like there's a part of me which is just like if someone was like. Yeah, like I'm getting to the end of my career. Some players have come out and been like, yeah, I've come here for money. But then people like Jordan Henderson are like coming out and being like really excited to grow the game. It's at the top level and stuff. And it's just like, it's clearly not.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels very disingenuous. But like, I guess it's always going to feel disingenuous. But I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those situations where there's always that contradiction or whatever.
I think it would be better if they were honest about it. But yeah.
Were you at Wembley, Johnny? And did you boo him?
I wasn't at Wembley.
Did you boo him from your living room?
Yeah, I booed him from my living room.
I still wouldn't boo him. I still wouldn't boo him. I can't boo a Liverpool captain.
He moves to Saudi Arabia.
I couldn't boo him.
Yeah, I could boo him. And it's weird that like Southgate and him pretending pretended that they're shocked, like they don't understand why people don't like it, which is all really weird.
Risotto, did you like send in the chat like a message of him being like basically saying, yeah, I see where the fans are coming from, but I don't understand why. Like, he basically just contradicted himself in the same sentence.
I see where they come from, but I don't understand why.
Why they're angry, but I don't understand why they're angry.
Yeah, it was just like a really PR thing, wasn't it? I don't know, it's so stupid.
Do you guys want to play a round of new rules, cool or not cool?
Oh yes. I thought you'd never ask.
Well, you see, we may already be 11 matches into the season, but it's our first pod of the season, and therefore we have to play new rules or whatever it's called. New rules, cool or not cool. The great game where you get to review all of the updated changes to the laws of the game. But first,
lay alone at home.
You've only had 24 hours.
But first, let me tell you, you can subscribe to us on the SoundCloud. Now, I have a slight confession to make about the SoundCloud. I was doing a bit of streamlining of my direct debits.
Oh, can we stop paying? Oh, no. Can we stop paying for it, please?
Right, so you'll be pleased to know that the £90 direct debit will not be coming out this year.
However, so can they still stream us on SoundCloud?
You can stream our latest two episodes on SoundCloud. All the others seem to have been removed. However, if you go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you will find
everywhere.
You will find all 49 episodes we've recorded, and you can join.
Is this number 50?
This is number 50.
This is number 50.
Yeah, number 50.
Wow. I don't believe that.
That's really. I don't know. We should do something about
that. We should do something.
An episode, 2 hour long episode.
you can join such listeners as Bevan. Started following us.
Oh, that's my friend. That's a real person.
No shit.
Yeah, that's a real person.
Oi. Shout out Bevan.
Huge.
You can you can tweet us. That's actually a good point. Do you still call
it? Has anyone got the login?
Do you still call it? Is it still called a tweet?
No, yeah.
2-2.
Is it 2-2? No way.
Ooh.
Fuck, sorry. I have not been reporting very well on my. That's madness. Oh, but it might be offside.
Sorry, Tom. Keep going.
No, it's cool. You can post a text message to us on X. And you can follow us at Pilot Pundits. Be sure to do that. You can tell us.
Show us how bad the rebrand has gone. We still just say tweet.
Horrendous. Okay, so let's get straight into it. No more delay. New rules, cool or not cool. Okay, this is a fairly straightforward one. Time added on. Last season, only 54 minutes. Was the average amount of game time. Luke, now they've changed it. Cool or not cool?
Oh, I thought you'd have a stat of what the average game time is now.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they're just adding on a bit more now.
Definitely more. They had 12 minutes just at half time in this one.
That's pretty cool.
They've even added that on, even in League One, where there's no VAR.
It's much worse in League One and the lower leagues because the ball's never in play.
Yeah, well, now
games last forever.
I think it might be disallowed this one, Justin. There's been 5 disallowed goals this game.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Get them playing more football. Well, I guess it's trying to see if it does discourage people wasting time as well. You know, you've got to let it.
Wow, sorry, Jasper shaking his head quite violently there.
I had a caveat.
Johnny can add the caveat.
Johnny, you're always allowed a caveat.
Thank you. I just think that. At least in League One, you just get the same amount of added time every game. It's just 7 or 8 minutes.
Seven minutes.
I feel like it depends if the game's close or not. If it's like 3-0, then they don't give much added time.
It doesn't seem to be added to actually how much time you waste. So I still feel like wasting time you're just going to get still 7 or 8 minutes. You just like, they've just added 7 minutes to the game rather than like, so I think in the World Cup, it sort of started with loads and then it went down again as teams stopped wasting time. But this is just like,
yeah.
You know what? I actually think keep it for tournament football because fine margins and games can be swung a bit more. So you don't want to stop time wasting because in a one-off, that has a bigger impact. But I think over the course of a season, table doesn't lie.
I agree.
It's just extending it and it's just a bit over the top.
Can I have another caveat, seeing as we're now calling our opinions caveats? One of my someone in Spurs team just tries to score from the halfway. My caveat is that I think it's a cool rule if the football schedule wasn't so full as it already is, because now loads of players are just getting injured because we've got so many games and the games are so much longer, and that's not cool. So I feel like if we just
red cards is insane this season.
Is it?
That's
probably VAR, isn't it? That's maybe not down to this, though.
Maybe not just down to that. More time to get.
Wait, you think they're just getting red cards to have a break? Is that what you're saying, Johnny? Is that your caveat? That's
exactly what I'm saying.
That's Johnny's caveat.
That's actually a very interesting point you guys have made there.
Which one about red cards?
Well, just all those caveats.
Isn't there stuff like people?
They were caveats, not points. Actually,
people always thought like Neymar would get himself like a red card before his sister's birthday or something, so he could head back.
No, he'd always get injured, and he did. He's been to his sister's birthday like 8 years in a row or something.
So, are we going with cool or not cool for that one?
Cool in the right context.
Cool with some caveats.
Yeah, cool with some caveats.
Not cool with some caveats.
No, that in the Premier League. In the Premier League, is it cool or not cool?
Not cool.
Not cool. In the current context of the Premier League, I'd be pro it if there weren't like games every, like three games every 12 days.
Okay. All right. You can post us on X. What, fuck's sake, what a load of shit. What do you think? Do you know, I'm treading a little bit on quiz territory here, so, but some things aren't included in the stuff that they stop the clock for and count. There's only five things that they it's such a boring thing to ask you what they are.
I think a big part of this game is reading out all the new rules. So.
Yeah, sorry. We'll just move on.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Don't quiz us, but just tell us.
Right, so goals and subsequent celebrations. They will take time off for that. Substitutions, injuries and treatment time, if required. Penalties from the moment of the offence to the whistle for the penalty kick. Red cards from the moment of the offence to when the player leaves the field. Everything else is as it was before. They just make it up.
But like,
you can waste time when the ball goes out of play.
Yeah, you can still waste time when the ball goes out of play.
But I guess some of it is like the game is still kind of like when you're getting ready for a free kick or a throw-in. Like the game is still kind of live. Players can be making runs, and so.
Okay, so this is when the game is totally dead. Is what you're saying?
But I remember after an Oxford game, said that he said afterwards that he didn't add on time for throw-ins. So, like, once everyone knows that, you just spend ages on.
Because what's not included here is throw-ins, goal kicks, corners, free kicks, all of that. They don't add on. Otherwise, because we'd be here.
I feel like they do, though, don't they?
They do, but not in the way that they do it for the others, where they literally time it. But then it does make sense, because if last season was 54 minutes of game time and we're only, you know, it's meant to be a 90-minute game, we're getting pretty much, what, we're getting like 5 minutes extra than we were last season? We should be getting a whole half an hour more.
Yeah.
Not cool. Okay. This one... I don't really understand this one, so I'm just going to read it to you and you can see what you think. There will be a slight change to the interpretation where a player commits a foul in their own penalty area, which denies an opponent an obvious goal-scoring opportunity, in brackets, dog so, and leads to a penalty. Everyone follow me so far?
Double jeopardy.
the referee will now issue a yellow card not only when the offence was an attempt to play the ball, but also if it is a challenge for the ball.
Well, that's just explaining the same thing.
That's such a big opportunity.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I think it does make sense.
What's the difference between an attempt to play the ball and an attempt to challenge?
And a challenge.
An attempt to challenge.
Could a challenge be like you're both jumping up or something?
Yeah, you might not be attempting to play the ball. You might be going for a shoulder barge.
Yeah.
But and like you miss the shoulder barge a little bit, get them in the back or something.
Yes, yeah, so before, so previously you'd get a red for that.
Yeah, but now it's, I think that makes sense.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. No caveats.
Simple one. This is a good one. Law number 40, the penalty kick. The goalkeeper must not behave in a manner that fails to show respect for the game and the opponent.
The martyr
is so subjective.
Absolutely not cool.
I don't like those rules.
I don't like it at all.
That's like when Neymar got a yellow card for doing too many skills in a PSG match.
Yeah.
Do you think that's been brought in after the World Cup?
Martinez.
I reckon
it should be called the Martinez Law or something.
Yeah. Okay. So not cool on that one then, yeah?
No, Martinez and Law, not cool.
This one.
Games should be allowed.
You're going to love this one. Really, this is really interesting. The reserve assistant referee is now permitted to assist the referee in the same way as other on-field match officials.
Wow.
That's huge.
Wow.
I never thought I'd see the day.
But they used to be able to do that because don't you remember when Zidane got the headbutt? The ref didn't see it, but the fourth official saw it on the big screen.
No, but and fourth official is different.
This isn't the fourth official. This is the reserve assistant referee.
So where is the reserve assistant referee?
In the changing room.
I think before they weren't allowed.
At home.
If they got their own little bench that they sit on.
Presumably,
the two teams and then the ref.
Yeah, fuck knows.
That's quite an easy gig. How do you get that job? Just being reserve linesman.
I feel like you might get it bored.
Yeah, maybe, but it's only a 2-hour game.
No, but surely they must all rotate though. They must all rotate.
But to work your way up to the Premier League, you've got to be reserve assistant referee in all the other leagues. So you're like, going to be there for quite a long time.
No, that's not how it works. Because sometimes the fourth official is like an actual ref, isn't it?
No, I think it's a specialised
job. Officials are actual refs, but the difference to the linesmen's, you know, the linesmen don't sometimes ref.
Oh, hang on.
Oh my God, another red card.
Oh my God.
It wasn't a red card.
Madrid
just stamped on the goalie.
Is the technical name for a linesman the assistant referee?
So this is
the reserve
line.
Do they have one reserve linesman or two reserve linesmen?
One.
I'd say one.
Probably, yeah.
So what do you think about this one then? Think this is cool? Not cool?
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess so. They're just giving that guy who sat on the bench.
It's neither cool, And do you think there was a reason it happened? Was there like a?
Yeah, I'm more interested.
Was the reserve assistant doing like it was a foul. It was a foul, 100%. And they were like, no, can't talk to you, mate.
So
talk to you. Wish I could hear what you were saying.
The reserve assistant referee. It's just like
when you're young and you do the thing where you're like, can you hear something right now? I can't hear anything. Maybe I can just hear the breeze. It's like it's a foul.
Maybe you're right, Jasper. Maybe they have like collectively organized for their rights, the reserve assistant referees. This is really
on strike though, couldn't they? Because it would make a difference.
This is a really interesting one. Only one person is allowed to the edge of the technical area.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
But hold on.
This is having quite a big impact, isn't it?
Yeah.
It does raise the question. Yeah, where is the edge? They're going to start drawing lines.
Is it the same as the pitch? You know, any part of the person and any part of the line is still in play in the technical area. So you can be like with your toe on the line, really trying to get the assistant referee or someone.
Yeah.
But then the edge would be different to being off, wouldn't it, as well?
Plus, they don't even, like, managers rarely stay in the technical area anyway. Nothing really happens.
Well,
They're always on it. Some managers are on the edge of technical area for the whole game.
Yeah, they're on the edge and then they step out. Like, they're a lot of the time they're just out of the technical area.
Oh, sorry.
Do you want to see that? You want to see that clamp down on Johnny? You sound like you don't like the sound of that.
I just think get rid of the technical area. What's the point?
Joint technical area.
What's going to happen?
Right. So was it before? Was it just
back to Rome? Ramblers' rights.
Johnny, you don't know why it was brought in originally. There maybe was some serious violence happening on the regular.
Love to see more violence between managers.
They should bring an ice hockey style rule so they stop the match and let the managers fight.
Yeah.
Before, was it just unlimited people allowed at the edge of the technical area?
No.
You could have a whole team round the edge of it, all the subs and everyone.
Yeah, because sometimes they'd all get up to like shout at the other bench.
Yeah.
But how close to the edge can you be?
And what is the edge?
If I'm shouting at another bench and I'm 1 yard behind the line, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
I thought it was just that there's only one person that has to be stood up, to be honest.
Yeah, that's how I understand it.
That would be ridiculous.
I think that's happening.
Like, the subs can leave because they can warm up.
But maybe technical area includes all of the seats and like everything but that go happen, and like that box that we see with the lines is actually just the edge. Maybe the technical area goes all the way back into the changing room. And that is just the edge relative to that whole.
I'm saying uncool.
Uncool?
I'm saying neither cool nor uncool. Actually, no, I like drama, so uncool. I like it when everyone on the bench is up.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to say cool because I also like drama, and I think if more people get up and then the ref's got to go over and book some people, and then they're going to get even angrier.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
You're going for, so you want more rules so people can break more rules.
Wow.
Any rule is a good rule if it can be broken.
Luke, do you have anything to add before we move on to the final rule?
I think all caveats have been covered.
Okay, cool. All right.
Okay. If it was this rule, Ronaldo wouldn't have been able to win Portugal the World Cup when he got injured in the first 5 minutes.
That's all the evidence you need.
There was the Euros.
Oh, yeah.
This one. To be honest,
he wishes he were a World Cup.
This one is not really a rule. It's more of a They've clarified.
It's a caveat.
The guidelines.
It's a caveat on a rule
for determining what what it means to deliberately play the ball. So when it comes to offsides, right?
Chelsea scored again. Ooh. It's probably offside again.
Is this like the one Mbappe scored in the Nations League where the defender
passed
the keeper, but only because he's there?
Yeah.
It doesn't count as interfering.
So deliberate play is when a player has control of the ball with the possibility of passing the ball to a teammate or gaining possession of the ball or clearing the ball.
Or is it like, do you remember the one where Kane had it? Basically, I think it was Kane. And he basically had it like between his legs and was running on it for ages, but he was offside. And then he just moved out of the way and someone else banged it in.
Wasn't that Rashford?
Was that maybe? Yeah, it was Rashford.
That's that was Rashford. But no, I think this is about if it being offside when if like a it comes off a defender.
It's the Mbappe one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they actually have to deliberately play the ball. Do they?
For it to not count as offside.
Yeah. So if a player is considered to be in control of the pass, attempt to gain possession or clearance, this would be a deliberate play, and the attacker in an offside position should not be penalised for offside.
It's the attempt to gain possession that's a bit vague.
An inaccurate...
That's like if they're going in for like a slide tackle or something. And like the striker pokes it and then it comes off them. Were they attempting to gain possession?
Well,
I don't think
are they attempting to clear the ball?
Kind of.
Are they attempting to gain possession of the ball?
Does it distinguish between clear the ball?
No.
I don't think I don't think this clarification is very clear, to be honest.
I think we've kind of reached the bottom of this, haven't we? We've kind of, it's still an inaccurate or unsuccessful action does not change that the defender deliberately played the ball.
It seems very unclear, to be honest.
I don't even understand the beginning of this rule.
Uncool.
Okay, and that brings...
it's multi-ball system new this year, was that last year?
Multi-ball! That was last season.
That was last year.
I thought
that might come up, but...
That was a great rule. Do you know if he's done a quiz?
It sounded like he'd done a bit of one. We can do the gossip section now.
Well, I was going to say, do we need to go to League One correspondent at the J-Doggy Dog just to tell us about what's been happening with the depressing news?
The thing is, we don't know. We still don't know. We could still
Johnny, give up.
We've been here before. When Swindon Town signed James Constable and he turned him down. When Cameron Brannigan... When he turned down Blackpool, but
he went to sign the contract, and then
he drove up to Blackpool, and on the way back down, then signed a massive contract for Oxford.
Nicholas Jackson just got a hat trick.
But yeah, the situation essentially is Manning is a genius, and Bristol City have apparently paid the release clause, and Sky News are saying it will be confirmed in a couple of days. That he's going to be gone. But I'll ask the other manager in the room. Manning's never got a promotion under his belt. And I feel like Oxford United at the moment, it's a big chance to actually get a promotion. Is it? Obviously, I think it's a mistake him leaving.
Yeah. But I was thinking about this. I think... Bristol City are doing all right anyway. I think if he went to a team that was like definitely in a relegation battle in the Championship, I'd be like, stay where you are and you're already booked. I also think as a manager moving midway through the season, you don't get the pre-season to build the team how you want. So I think it makes quite a big difference. So you could go there and like lose the first few. So I actually would be quite hesitant.
Even... I think there's a higher chance you'll get promotion staying at Oxford.
Yeah. But then it's a long old league. It's tough to get out.
But also, even if you get promoted, Bristol City have like so much more money than them.
They got more money
than Oxford.
Yeah. But it's just what's the chance if you go to Bristol City, it doesn't work for a few months, then you leave. But
yeah.
But equally, if they're only 4 points off promotion, playoffs, Bristol City, and then that's like you could be a Premier League manager, can you? And he was in this position with Milton Keynes, and they didn't get promoted.
Yeah, I feel like the thing is that you kind of just take these opportunities you can get them, because like, whilst obviously it would be good to get promoted, also you don't know if you're just gonna like you might turn shit and have a shit second half of the season, and then the opportunity's gone.
Yeah, but it's whether you see the there's also. How often do you get an opportunity where it's working well at Oxford, he's got a team that plays like it wants to. And we'll see. I'm hoping he's gonna turn around and do a big old like, I'm not leaving.
If he does go, Johnny, is he a snake?
Oh, 100%. No, you can understand it. But it would be so hard to take.
Okay. Who works for the guest?
Thank you.
Did we get the Wednesday update yet?
Do you want the Wednesday update?
Form of Championship, 6 points, 15 games played.
Yeah, but now we got Danny Roll. Ex-Bayern Munich, ex-Germany, coach.
Already cut adrift there, really.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a mess. So to understand it, you need to go back to the end of last year. Amazing promotion. 3 weeks later, sack Darren Moore. No one knows what's going on. No manager for weeks. Then you get a random guy who, I actually got a major, it's only a Wednesday related scoop actually. But like, a family friend. He's just been to Thailand, and the owner, he somehow met the guy who was head of year at the owner's son's school.
Yes, nice.
And who told him that he recently, when this Danny Roll got in, the owner's other son passed it on and it got to him. So he made like loads of money because he just bet before it had actually been signed off. And he also said the reason we signed this previous manager, Cisco Munez, was because at the end of the interview, he asked if whether he got it or not, the chairman would call him to explain why he didn't give it to him. And nobody else did that. And the chairman liked that attitude. Honestly, this guy is a loose cannon, so I do genuinely believe that that could be true. But anyway, then he gets this rando guy.
That is a good attitude.
He comes in. We buy a bunch of loan players because the chairman, he stopped putting any money in. Owns John West Tuna, so they must be struggling. So buy your tuna, folks. And then...
But to help out Wednesday.
And then we basically, he has a short preseason, to help out Wednesday. Nah, don't give any money to this chairman. Hate his guts. Then we keep losing. Then a few weeks ago, the chairman, he keeps getting into these spats with the fans. And he said, like, I lose 2 million a month on the club, like how much I'm putting into how much I make from it. Because he's also whacked the ticket price up. So everyone hates him for that. Heist in the championship. Oh, we're bottom. Crazy. So then...
And it's Sheffield.
Earlier this week, just on random, on a Tuesday, last weekend we got our first win of the year. So we got this new manager, Danny Roll. Everyone's very excited. He is the future. Very young. But he... Anyway, I won't go on about him. Anyway, so then on Tuesday he does an interview with like the local Sheffield press and he says, I owe 2 million to HMRC and I can't afford to pay the players' wages this month and the staff due to cash flow problems in my company. And people have said how bizarre that would mean you're 2 million short. And what he said was, if the fans, because he's got annoyed at fans calling him just a custodian, like not the owner, because you're just in for a period and then you'll go. He said, if the fans like truly believe it, then they should all. Then he said, like, if 200,000 pay £100 each, then we'll have the money. So he said that, and that went out publicly. And it was out publicly for about 24 hours. And then the next day he announced that he'd paid the players and staff, but still hadn't paid off what he owed HMRC. And it was like, if we don't pay it off by the 15th of November, then we'll have a transfer embargo for like months and potentially points deduction. So everyone's like, what the fuck? This is chaos. And then the day after, he then announced that he had paid the 2 million now.
So it's all fine.
So he's literally, it does sound fraudy, and it sounds like he just did it to fuck with the fans because that's what happened. Fans protested and wanted him out a few weeks ago. And he said, if you really care about the club, stop protesting or I'll stop putting any money into the club. And I think this was his way of saying, you kept protesting, so this is the way I get back at you. It's mad. It's mental.
Anyway, riveting stuff.
Yeah. This is what happens in the lower leagues.
Honestly, well, okay. So I tell you what, little prediction. How many points do you think Wednesday will have the next time we do a pod?
You've got next season with them in League One, couldn't it?
What are they on at the moment?
What are we on? Six, I think.
Six, you said.
Two more than Wednesday. United, sorry.
Yeah. We got two very winnable games coming up. So I think we're going to do a pod in a couple of weeks and we're going to be on 12 points.
What? You think we're going to do a pod in a couple of weeks?
Well, 12 points either way.
Oh, I'm going to make a note of that.
I reckon 32 points.
We are 32. Staying up. No, 40 is normally. I don't even know in the championship.
52 in League One.
52 in League One.
That's the no one's ever got relegated.
Have you been going to any games, Jay?
Yeah, we're going to quite a few. But then since we've been doing well, they sell out quite a lot because they're going to play Leighton Orient next week, just like two stops on the tube. And it just sold out. It's a bit annoying.
Oh, you want to?
Johnny, I've got a friend who's literally lives by the corner of that stadium, which you can see him. I want to go around there and watch it.
Yeah, could do. What, can he like look in?
I think so. I've never actually been.
I was thinking I might even just go in the later.
Yeah, just go in the home fans.
Oi, Johnny, we should go to the Reading Oxford game.
That one's also sold out, but I've managed to get a ticket to that.
No, Red at the Medeski.
Yeah, I've got a ticket to that one, but it's sold out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we could go in the Reading end maybe.
Ooh. Maybe.
It's Tuesday night, 12th of December.
Might be working, I don't know. But obviously I do live so close to the Medeski now, so you know. Horrible. Reading. Oh, I don't really like living in Reading yet, to be honest.
Are you gonna become a Reading fan, Tom?
Absolutely not. Good. Like the house is amazing. I love the house. But I haven't quite, you know. Anyway, sorry.
Save it for the catch-up pod.
Sorry. We're straying dangerously away from football.
Save it for the Christmas party.
You're also going to estrange all of our Reading fans.
At one point, going to be merged into one team.
Ooh.
Do you know that?
No. Reading
and Oxford.
Really? Oh, yeah.
It's Robert Maxwell wanted to merge them to be the Thames Valley Royals.
Otto, have you got a quiz?
Yeah.
Should we do it?
I think we better do it because
I'm getting quite late, isn't it?
Yeah, I think
maybe it's an extra long celebratory 50th
anniversary pod. Yeah.
Right, should we just smash it out?
Just quick fire.
We'll just probably get them really
smash
quick.
This out, guys. Let's just smash this.
Yeah. Smash it out, yeah. Smash it.
Smash.
All right.
Just getting up.
Do we need Otto's quiz? Otto, you've got a keyboard behind you, don't you?
I don't.
All right,
the chords.
Right. Do you know how to do a C chord?
I know how to do a C chord, yeah.
Okay, right. Do you know how to do an F chord?
Just smashing it out.
F what?
Just F major. F major.
But it's higher. I can't hear you now because I'm at hip neck.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
It's not coming through there.
C, F what?
So F major, G major, C major.
All right. F major, G major.
You need to pull the headphones out because we can't hear it. Too late.
Wrong?
Well, We can't hear it.
No, because he's got his headphones plugged in, so they're going through the headphone sound. And
yeah.
Still can't hear it. I also think the mics tend to...
There.
Can't hear anything. I think the mics tune out some...
He's gonna. Don't respond when he asks us for thumbs up or down.
Isn't it just... It's all white notes, isn't it? It's just F...
Yeah, all white notes, mate, but we can't hear it at all. We can't hear it.
Oh, you can't hear it at all?
No.
Oh,
it's good job. Just... Your headphones in.
Okay, your headphones.
The headphone mic.
Oh, okay. Ooh, this sounds better.
I think we're going to get some good sound through now.
No, nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Shocking. It must.
I think it treats it as background noise.
No, I can't hear it.
Ah, shit.
Never mind. Otto's quiz time.
Right. I did it, though. For me.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
At the beginning, I was doing C, F, G, and I wasn't sure why it was wrong. And then that time, I did it the right way around.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I'm sad that you guys couldn't hear it because it sounded really good. All right. First question. Let me just remember the format of the question. There have already been five teams finish a day at the top of the Premier League table this season. This is already two more than in last season. Can you name the five teams that have finished a day at the top of the table?
Can you say that again, please?
There have already been five teams finish a day at the top of the Premier League table this season.
Okay.
I will name the five teams.
Does it count like the first day?
Yeah, they just ended the day, yeah.
Thanks.
Pens down, please. Pens down. All right. Does someone want to give me their answers?
Yeah, go on then, mate.
Yeah, all right, go for it, mate.
City, Tottenham, West Ham, Arsenal, Liverpool.
Oh, you got three. You got three.
Okay.
City, West Ham, Tottenham are the ones you got.
Yeah, right. I thought so.
Brighton.
Yes, well done.
Oh, thank you.
Johnny,
thank
how you, many others did you get right? How many others did you get?
I think I also put Liverpool, so that's not there.
Okay. So four. Thomas?
I put Tottenham, Man City, Brighton, Liverpool.
Okay, so you got three. What was your fifth one?
Didn't have a fifth one.
Okay, you didn't have it. Yeah.
Better percentage.
Scott, you weren't quick enough to lie.
I had City, Spurs, West Ham, Liverpool, Arsenal.
All right, so you got three. Well, Johnny, well done.
What's the one we missed?
Newcastle.
I realised it wasn't Liverpool, but
I just thought they had a really... Didn't they have quite a bad start to the season?
They might have gone top on, like, the first day, though.
Maybe they did.
Speeding through.
Yeah, maybe they did go top first on the first day.
This season had the joint longest run of before a goalless draw. How many games were there?
Like game weeks or actual
games? No, games, actual games. And this is quick fire, so you've only got... What's this?
It's a maths to do here. Right. It doesn't help you think that, does it?
Give me your answers.
21.
21? Jasper? Oh.
37.
Johnny?
Well, I thought...
Stick to your...
Just give us a number, Johnny. 57.
Oh, what did you say, Jasper?
37.
You said 57. Oh, okay. Wait. Jasper wins. 46.
Oh, wow. Fuck!
Done, Jasper. All right.
we don't get points for where we... Nah, never mind.
On September the 2nd, there were three hat-tricks scored on this day. And that was the joint most ever scored on a single day of Premier League football. Who scored the three hat-tricks?
Literally no clue. Haaland?
Yeah, Haaland.
Saka?
No.
Heung-min Son?
Yeah.
Evan Ferguson?
Oh, Luke. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't get Haaland though, I put Foden. Because I was so pleased with my other two answers. I was like, whatever comes into my head. I thought about Haaland and I was like, nah, he was having a bit of a drought at that point. But I'm so pleased I got those other two.
Thomas, you just got Haaland?
I just got Haaland, yeah. I put a Newcastle player down.
Who?
Just wrote a Newcastle player. Saka as well.
I just got Haaland. I put Saka. I put Alvarez as well because I was gambling on what I
Johnny?
I think he did.
I just had Hamblando and Saka. I couldn't really think of a third.
You didn't have anyone?
Nah. I was choosing between two and then the time went.
That's a bit embarrassing.
It is tough in this amount of time.
All right. Newcastle beat Sheffield United 8-0. And in this game, they had 8 different scorers. Let's name them, shall we?
I knew it was going to be embarrassing. I've forgotten all their players' names.
Yeah, this is more just how many Newcastle players do you know.
Giving you guys some more time.
Thanks.
Is everyone ready?
I mean, no, but well, yeah, let's give it a go.
Yeah. Okay. Who wants to go first?
Almiron.
Isaac.
All right. Yeah. Almiron.
Isaac.
Yeah.
The guy Joe who. Huh? Yeah, that guy, Joe Linton.
Well, no, Luke. Who did you put? What did you write?
I wrote the guy who fouled the guy for the Arsenal goal, for the Newcastle goal against Arsenal the other day.
You're not allowed that.
It was him, though, wasn't it?
No, but also John Linton actually didn't score. That's just another Newcastle player.
Gordon.
Gordon.
Trippier? Did he get one?
No.
Tonali? I know he plays for Newcastle. One of the next 10 months.
No. He didn't play go.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Dan Burn.
Yeah, Dan Burn, the legend.
Murphy? Did Murphy score?
No.
Longstaff.
And Guimaraes.
Oh, Bruno Guimaraes, whatever he's called. Guimaraes.
All right. So I'm going to read them out. You guys count how many you got right.
Okay.
Longstaff, Burn, Sven Botman, Callum Wilson, Anthony Gordon, Almiron, Guimaraes, Isaac. How many did you get? Luke got 2.
I got 6. It's a bit of a game changer.
6. Johnny?
3.
Johnny, 3.
It's unfair when you ask actual football knowledge questions there, because then you have to
play. Well, I just watched Newcastle last year because they played on Wednesday. Studied the squad, you know.
And then... You watched them last year. I watched them this weekend and I couldn't remember any of their players.
Liverpool. I can't remember if they've broken their own personal record or Premier League record. I'm going to say it's a Premier League record by getting 4 watts in their first 7 games.
Oh, got it.
Wait, four watts of power.
Yeah, 4 watts of power.
On the buzzers.
Red card.
You didn't buzz.
Oh, red card.
Luke, good. Quick on the buzzer as always.
I told you there are more red cards this season.
Yeah, well done, Luke. And an extra bonus round question, because I wanted to include a bit of the catch-up in the football quiz. I went back to look at Johnny's first profile picture. And on the profile picture, there was a comment that said, "Your blank is way cool, dude." What was the blank?
Johnny's profile picture on what?
On Facebook.
This buzzer.
Is it Buzz? Buzz?
Yeah.
You're buzzing as well.
Yeah, you buzzed, Jasper.
Hat.
Oh, well done, Jasper.
That's good.
That was right.
Yeah, you're right.
It was a cool hat. It is a cool hat.
Always a cool hat. Always a cool hat.
What was the hat?
I think it's like a massive rainbow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like a wizard kind of rainbow hat.
Like Joseph's Technicolor dream hat.
That's exactly it. Johnny's Technicolor. Yeah,
Johnny's.
Okay. Fine.
Okay, but yeah, I guess that's it.
Cool.
Oh, I don't even want the scores on the doors.
Well, can you guys just fill a bit of time so I can come up?
Yeah. A gossip section, I guess. Or are we wrapping it up?
I think we're wrapping up.
Oh, we're not even going to have the scores on the doors.
No. We're filling some time.
You just fill
a tiny bit of time.
Oh, yeah. So about what we were saying before.
So the Christmas season, you know, it's like a year since the World Cup, isn't it?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I enjoyed that Winter World Cup, like something to look forward to in November, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. I really liked it. Because we were quite apprehensive about it. Yeah, it's all wrong.
But you guys can stop that.
Oh, thank God.
In last place, Thomas on 5 points, which takes your grand total to 94.
That sounds pretty good.
In second place.
Wow.
Wait, second last. Oh, he got
Johnny,
94.
Second place is Johnny with 7, which takes him to 114.
This is an odd reading out of the scores.
This is strange.
Oh, so I'm adding up the scores. In third place today is Luke with 8 points, which takes him to 99.
Oh, okay.
But thinking about Aguero, big old fat face, is a cheating nerd. And both in first place today and in general is Jasper, who is on 12. So that puts him on 119. With the total of everyone being Thomas on 94, Luke on 99, Johnny on 114, and Jasper on 119.
Oh, so Johnny's pretty good.
When does this quiz season come to an end?
Never.
When do we get the playoffs? Because that's really what I'm saving myself for.
Yeah, I'll do the playoffs at some point. We're going to have some relegation. We're going to have some. You get kicked off the pod.
Just in a league on their own.
They have to join a shifter pod that meets even less frequently than us.
Well, is it time? Is it that time to say? Or is it that time already? Join us again on the next pod for more unedited and uncensored, unbelievable football conversation. Let's say thank you and goodbye to Luke Stamper.
Thank you and goodbye.
And let's say thank you and goodbye to Jasper Kawaja.
Thank you and goodbye.
Otto underscore Wolf, thank you and goodbye from you.
Thank you and goodbye from me.
It takes so long to do. And let's say thank you and goodbye to at the J Doggy Dog.
Thank you and goodbye. Thank you and goodbye.
I don't think when they do it on the game shows, whatever, they don't do it one by one, do they? They do it, they say, let's say thank you and goodbye to
XYZ.
XYZ.
And then the host just says, yeah.
I think we originally all had our own little kind of sign-off moment, but it just has become thank you and goodbye now.
We did that one where we said, like, thank you and good evening.
Because I think Jasper and Luke used to do thank you and goodbye, maybe.
Oh, we did. That really sped things up as well.
Yeah.
That kept things just ticking along nicely.
Save it for next time.
We had a couple of, like, final reflections and asides and caveats.
Well, and it's thank you and goodbye from me. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you and goodbye.